When I became editor of the Progressive magazine, I got to move into Matt's office, which was pretty exciting. And the first thing I did was hang up a picture. It is the original print from a cover of the Progressive magazine, one of my very favorites. It's a picture of Tammy Baldwin with her boxing gloves on, looking beaming, and Tommy Thompson way back behind her on the ropes. We published that issue of the Progressive magazine before the election results were in 2012. And I had the honor of following Tammy Baldwin around on the campaign trail and covering that race. It was an epic race between our former governor, Tommy Thompson, who everybody thought would win, and Tammy Baldwin, whom everyone advised, you don't have a chance. And she just kept on plugging. And in fact, it was a presidential election year. Obama came to Wisconsin a few times. He'd skipped us in 2011, but he showed up in 2012. And Tammy opened for him again and again. I saw her on the Summerfest grounds opening for Obama. But it wasn't just that she was introducing the President of the United States. It's that he was listening to her and he started cribbing some of her lines, particularly on the issue of trade. Because if there is somebody in the US Congress and now the Senate who has fought for fair trade, it is Tammy Baldwin. She knows the economic reality that working people cannot afford to have our jobs outsourced through unfair trade deals. And she would hit that point again and again. The issue, she said, was fairness. Whether it's marriage equality, whether it's fair trade, or whether it's not letting the banks write their own rules, a point she made when she was one of a handful of members of Congress who voted no on repealing Glass-Steagall. Tammy Baldwin stuck up for fairness all the way. That message resonated. It resonated with people in Wisconsin. It resonated with people across the country. It resonated when Tommy Thompson was holding a fundraiser on a yacht at the Republican convention, which I had the interesting experience of attending. And when Mitt Romney was making his comments about what he thought of the great majority of Americans. So Tammy Baldwin was on message. She was at the heart of American politics and progressivism. She won that election. It was the biggest bright spot of election night in 2012. She is our champion. I am so proud to introduce U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Ruth. It is great to be with a group of fired up progressives on a beautiful, crisp day in Wisconsin here in Baraboo. And I've been so proud to work alongside so many of you during my career in public service. But first off, I really would like to ask everyone to join me in thanking Ed Garvey for his leadership in bringing progressives together for fighting Bob Best since 2002. Now, I stand here today first and foremost to thank you all for your friendship, for your engagement, and for your commitment to fight for the progressive values that we share and that have defined our state. I think many of you know that I have the honor of occupying the same Senate seat and, in fact, occupying the very desk that Fighting Bob La Follette once held. And I admire Fighting Bob's legacy in so many ways, but I assure you this morning that I will not today emulate his maiden speech in the United States Senate, which went on for the better part of 3 days. Fighting Bob ran for the Senate because he was concerned that while powerful corporate interests were being well served in Washington, ordinary people weren't even being heard. He traveled all around Wisconsin, literally standing on stages made of soapboxes or hay wagons at fairgrounds just like this one, and his message came to define our state's progressive tradition. And the things that he talked about a century ago ring true once again today. As I've traveled the state, Wisconsinites have told me over and over again what we all know to be true, that the powerful and well-connected still seem to get to write their own rules, while the concerns and struggles of middle class and struggling families go unnoticed in Washington and too often Madison too. They feel like our economic system is stacked towards those at the very top and that our political system exists to protect those unfair advantages instead of making sure that everybody gets a fair shot, an equal opportunity. Nearly 100 years ago, in September of 1917, La Follette also raised questions of war and peace that are important to ask today. If America is going to pursue military engagement abroad, then we need to ask who is going to pay for it. Yes. Taxpayers have already shouldered over $1 trillion for a misguided decade-long war in Iraq. So are middle-class taxpayers going to continue to shoulder the burden of our military actions while Washington refuses to make corporations or millionaires and billionaires pay their fair share of taxes? We also need to ask ourselves, as we once again ask military families to make sacrifices for our military efforts overseas, is America committed to the shared responsibility to ensure that our wounded warriors and their families receive the care and benefits that they've earned and deserved? That means we all have to do our part, and that includes the wealthy paying their fair share so that we have the resources necessary to care for our veterans when they return home. As I look out at all of you, I am reminded of our proud, progressive Wisconsin values and our long commitment to the common good. We understand that the people of Wisconsin hold deep commitments to community, to neighbor helping neighbor, and we believe that we are all in it together. These are the ideals that we give voice to every day. And this weekend, let us renew our commitment to giving them voice. When my grandparents were raising me, I learned that if you work hard and play by the rules, you ought to be able to get ahead. The Wisconsinites I talked to grew up learning the very same thing. They, you, are working harder than ever. And those Wisconsinites deserve to get ahead. But as you know, many are barely getting by. People are still working for that middle-class dream, a job that pays the bills, healthcare coverage you can rely on, a home you can call your own, a chance to save for your kids' college education, and a secure retirement. But instead, too many are finding that even two jobs aren't enough to make ends meet, and that those jobs are hard to find and even harder to keep. They're finding that the home that they worked hard to own isn't even worth what they still owe on their mortgage. And they're finding that the cost of college is going up, and they're worried that they might never be able to retire comfortably. And that's why we need to continue our fight to make sure that everybody gets a fair shot and equal opportunity. Now, there's one person in Wisconsin who thinks that a particular Las Vegas casino billionaire should get to decide whether the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes. Believe it or not, we actually have a governor in Wisconsin who believes there's nothing wrong with letting the Koch brothers decide whether a minimum wage worker gets their hard work rewarded with a raise. And if that weren't bad enough, Governor Walker believes that Donald Trump should get a voice on whether Wisconsin women receive equal pay for equal work. Now, he couldn't be more wrong, and here is why. They don't get to decide. We get to decide. You get to decide. You get to decide whether we will allow powerful forces with deep pockets to buy our elections. And you get to decide whether we will be governed by corporate special interests that already have too much power in Washington and Madison, or whether we will work together to rebuild and grow our middle class and make sure every working family in Wisconsin has a fair shot of getting ahead. And you get to decide whether we let them take power away from the people and give it to politicians like Scott Walker and Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. Let there be no doubt, corporate special interests are going to spend even more this year than they have ever done before. But we know what happens when we let them decide. And we are not going to let that keep on happening. Now, that's a big job, but I've seen how you fought for me, and I've seen how powerful we can be together. The middle class still doesn't have enough of a voice in Washington or Madison, but if we stand together, make sure that our voices are heard, together we will have a voice and give a voice to those who need to be heard. We have so much work to do, but don't let the cynics, the naysayers, the keepers of the status quo tell you that it can't be done. I've never listened to them, and neither should you. Listen to your heart instead, because I believe that together, we do make a difference. And all of you fight this fight because you are committed to making that difference. A difference in the lives of students who struggle with loan debt when a higher education should be a path to prosperity, not a path to indebtedness. A difference in the lives of our gay and lesbian family members, friends, and neighbors who ask nothing more than the opportunity and freedom to love, the freedom to commit, the freedom to build a family. A difference in the lives of hardworking, middle-class families across our state who ask nothing more than to have their work respected and rewarded. Your engagement means we get to decide what our future looks like, and together whether progress is what awaits. Together, we write the next chapter of Wisconsin's proud, progressive tradition. Thank you.